Well, good morning, Charleston Church. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. If you're happy to be here, why don't you put your hands together and just begin to clap before the Lord. Tag someone on the shoulder and just say, it's good to see you here. Tell them we're ready to worship together. We're looking up. Hallelujah.
Just sing, and heaven and heaven. sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy.
This morning, come on, if you believe he's good, I want you just to give him a praise right now. Go ahead and open your mouth and lift your hands, whatever you, however you want to offer God a praise today, go ahead. Just begin to thank him for being that good. You know, he didn't have to come, but he did. He didn't have to save our souls, but he did. And God made a way where there wasn't a way. He is a very good God. He is a great God. Let's give him praise in this place. Father, we thank you. We thank you for always making a way. For being so good, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. You are constant. And true, all my hopes found in you, always faithful to do what you promised. Through the dark, through the night, flows a river of life. Through the storm, through the fire, shines a promise that God is always good.
I like to hear that. Sing it out, church. God is always
good. Yes, God is always good.
What I've seen.
What I've seen on the mountains.
That's right.
Seen in the
this is what we've seen.
That God
is always good.
Is
come on, give him a praise.
When I rise or when I fall, you remain Lord of all. Run to me when I call, what a Savior. You alone freely give, so that all may truly live. Every good and perfect gift comes from heaven. Is always good.
That's right.
Yes, God is always good. What I've seen on the mountain, I've seen
Declare your name. For you. And so God, I pray that you touch every single person that is here this morning. Maybe this week's been difficult and hard, but Lord, we thank you that when we're in your presence, you change everything. You change everything. So Lord, we just thank you, God, for what you're doing and what you're going to continue to do in this service here this morning. In Jesus' name. Can you say a big amen? Amen. And you can be seated here this morning. Why don't you greet a couple people around you? Say hello. Welcome them here this morning. It's so great to see every single one of you here this morning. And if you are here for the very first time, we would like to welcome you because you are our guest. So, Charleston Church, could you help me welcome everybody here this morning? And if you are new here today, in a seat back in front of you, you are going to find a red card. It's a contact card. Take that card out, fill it out, and when the offering buckets come around here, in just a few minutes, we'll collect those from you. We just want to keep you informed of all the great things that are going on here at the church. You know, I was looking at my calendar this morning, and we have 2 Sundays left of this year before we're into the new year. It seems crazy that the whole year has gone by. But as we look back and see of all the wonderful things that God has done, amen? Now, right now, we have a really yummy fundraiser going on. And as you guys probably saw out the doors here this morning, we have Krispy Kreme donuts. Woohoo! It's okay, you can get excited about donuts. It's exciting. So as you walk out the door, hopefully you smelt donuts in the air. So this morning they're here. So all of you that pre-ordered your donuts, make sure that you go down to the fellowship hall and pick them up. But for those of you that didn't have a chance to sign up, there's no need to cry right now because we have extra. Yes. So when you walk out these doors and you see the little Christmas trees that we tried to make with these boxes, you can just grab them. They're just $10 a box, and what a nice treat to be able to go home and have this afternoon. The lady that we got them from, listen, she said you just put them in your microwave for 8 seconds, and then they taste like they came right off that belt. So you probably don't want to go home without a box of these, okay? So would anybody like this box of donuts? Because I have, Melissa, Pierce, here you go. They're yours. Yeah. Woohoo! You should open them and let the aroma just go through the church. So make sure you get your donuts here this morning. And this weekend, everybody say this weekend. This weekend we are having our family Christmas celebration, and it is going to be amazing. As you can see, they've already started some decorations covering of things, but you just wait until next week. You're going to love it. So make sure this is the easiest service to invite some people to. So if you want to get those donut boxes and stick a little invitation on top, that's a great way to invite some people to the service. But how many of you have had a chance to invite somebody this weekend? Wow, that's a lot of hands. And I believe that God is going to do amazing things in that service. So we have a video to show you of some of the past times.
Christmas, Christmas, Christmas.
Person in the face.
That'd be terrible.
Come on.
You are faithful through the ages.
Yeah.
So as you can see by the video, there's some amazing services, and we do not want you to miss it. So make sure that you're out Saturday evening and Sunday evening for these special services. Ushers, if you'd like to come down, we're going to get ready to take up this morning's tithe and offerings. As I was saying, we only have a couple weeks left of the year, and as I was looking back myself, it was just incredible to see all the different things that God has done in my life, in my family, in the church, all the different opportunities that we've had here as a church to be able to give to the community and all over the world. And so this morning, as we take up our tithe and offerings, let's just give our best as we always do. We're so thankful for a faithful church, and for how good God is. So if you just want to take your offering, I'm going to pray. We're going to believe for the Lord to just continue to do amazing things. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much, God, for the opportunity that we have to be able to give back. God, you've given so graciously to each and every one of us. We're so thankful, God, that you use every single one of us, God, to be able to go out and to share the good news at work, at school, God, all over this place, Father. We just pray that awesome. We continue to take those steps of obedience everywhere we go. Lord, I pray, God, that you bless every family financially. God, we thank you, Lord, that you provide for us, that you take care for us. And God, we just pray that you bless this offering this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together. Let's stand together and open our Bibles to the book of Luke, if you would, please. The book of Luke. Good morning. Good morning. You look great. Thank you. That's why I said it. I was hoping you'd respond with such sincere affirmation for us today. If you would open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Tonight, we're going to be back here at 5 o'clock. And tonight's going to be different. I'll tell you why. One, we're not going to be meeting in here. We're going to go out in the newly renovated fellowship hall tonight. And if you haven't seen it, you need to come see it. And we're just going to fill that up tonight. And then on top of that, our friend Justin Fennell is going to be here tonight. How many of you remember Justin Fennell? Well, Justin is he's always done comedic work. And with our different banquets, he's going to come and speak tonight. And it's not going to be comedy, but it's not going to be sober either. Well, I don't know if that's the right word for some of you. Not too dark, not too serious. It's going to be fun. And especially in this season, if you need some encouragement, I'll tell you, tonight's going to be the night. It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait for you to be here. Justin's come up to do a little work with me at the school and the church, and he came in early. And I said, well, why don't you speak Sunday night? And he's happy to do it. God's put something on his heart. And I'll tell you, there's nobody quite like Justin Fennell in the world. In the world, honestly. It's going to be fantastic. All right. So tonight, Fellowship Hall, 5 o'clock. We're going to be a great time. Luke chapter 1, if you're there, say, I'm there. Yeah. Verse 26, it's on the screen if you don't have a Bible to refer to. But it reads this way. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now Nazareth was you may have images in your mind, but Nazareth was basically a ghetto, a slum. It was just a very poor, disliked place, to be quite honest with you. Some would say the armpit of Israel. I've heard other towns referred to that in the local area, but I don't want to say which ones. To a virgin betrothed, engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. It's interesting that she had become suspicious of the angel. Verse 30. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever," basically reigning in Israel, "and of his kingdom there will be no end." God's family is going to grow, grow, grow. How many glad God has the final say over all things that take place? All right. Verse 34. The angel said, Mary said to the angel, "How can this be?" How? Somebody shout, how? "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age." Amen. How many ladies receive that are in old age? If it happened once, it can happen again. He's a big guy. No. No. You're not old. You're 29. You don't qualify for that miracle. Good try. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. I love this last scripture. Let's read it together. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." I want to talk to you on this thought. You're ready for this. Heavenly Father, please help me, help us, speak to everybody in this building and online. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Just stop before you see it. Before I want you to turn to somebody, and it's like you haven't seen them for 5 years, and just say, "Well, hello," like you haven't seen them. There's a reason. Wow, hello. That's better. Hello. What a great crowd here just before Christmas. Salutations is what I'm talking about. Everybody has different ways of greeting each other. And I looked up a little bit online different cultures of how they greet each other, because how you greet somebody will determine how you're received. In the Philippines, they have a greeting, I think it's called Meno. And they would take the hand of an elder and gently press it on their forehead. That's how you greet or give a salutation to an elder in Philippines. In Japan, there is bowing. And to the degree that you bow is determined by the prestige of the person that you bow to. In Malaysia, they will stretch their hands out, put their fingertips on the person's hand, and pull their hand toward their heart, just saying, like, I welcome you from my heart. In Oman, the men give each other nose kisses. Oh, man, Justin says. Oh, man. To demonstrate that, I would like to call Walter and Bruce up here. No, I'm just... I think you get it. If you think that's bad, in New Zealand, they have the greeting called the hongi, where they not only touch noses, they touch foreheads, which some of you have foreheads built for that. In Kenya, there are tribes that will do, the Adamu tribe, when they see you, will just leap up into the air. Have you ever seen that done, Evans? Have you seen that done? Do you know how to do it? Okay, I want you to come out in the aisle. Evans is from Kenya. Malcolm, stop. Malcolm, stand. Evans, greet Malcolm. Like, whoa, like that. That's good. Okay, that's good. Now, that's good. Stop. Evans, stay. Malcolm, now you greet Evans like you're in Kenya. Oh, you don't shake hands. All right. All right. I tried. This is one you probably will all participate in. In Tibet, they will stick their tongue out. Literally, they do. Go ahead and just greet somebody as if you were a Tibetan monk. Go ahead. It's amazing how dignified some of you are during worship, but I do this kind of stuff. You just come unloose. Get it. And so the angel brings this salutation to Mary, because the angel says, I've got something to say to you, and I need you to get it. So I'm going to... God knows how to address people. And I find it very interesting that Gabriel... Well, let me just back up. You understand that angels are not those short, fairly overweight, diaper-wearing, bow and arrow little beings that you may hang on your Christmas tree or you think about. Angels were mighty, mighty, powerful. They were intimidating. And every angel had its own job description. And one was Michael. Whenever Michael the angel showed up, you wanted to get ready to fight. Like when Michael came, he was a warring angel. He was MMA every class. He was tough. You knew when he showed up, there's going to be some warfare taking place. But when Gabriel showed up, you're happy. Because Gabriel showed up after the battle was over, and Gabriel would give an announcement of something good to come. And I'm so grateful that God in His plan helps us to understand the message of Christmas is that it is an announcement. It is not an announcement of struggle. It's not an announcement that you'll remain weak. The announcement that came to Mary came from Gabriel, who doesn't just give messages to feel good about it. He came to prepare her to say this: Mary, you have great favor with God. You have great favor. Now you've got to think about where he walked. Gabriel walked by the White House. He walked by the Capitol. He walked by the Supreme Court. He walked by the universities. He walked by the mansions. He walked by the very wealthy. He walked by the cool people, the inn people. And he went to a ghetto called Nazareth. And when he walked in there, he didn't look for the mayor. He didn't look for the town council. He found a Jewish girl who was hated in that day, like many Jews are hated today. She was a female, which in that culture put her in a lower class. Not only that, but she lived in Nazareth. And yet the angel, walked by the chief priest. The angel walked by Herod. The angel walked by the Roman Empire and found a little girl and told that little girl, you're not little. He didn't say that little girl, you're no good. Didn't say that little girl, something's going to happen and you're not worthy. He basically said, little girl, I've overlooked everybody else. And in fact, the Bible, it seems like, says that he didn't say anything. God didn't say anything for 400 years. And the first words he had to say was somebody that everybody else overlooked. And he says to her, Mary, you have great favor with God. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know, people struggle with favor, especially in this day. But I need you to hear, the very introduction of Jesus is the favor of God expressed to you and I. Favor is Jesus embodied. Favor is when God looked at humanity like you and I. Please hear this. Every one of us born in sin, I don't care how long you've gone to church, I don't care if you've never gone to church, I don't care if you've never done anything wrong. I was looking at our Christmas picture the other day. We just got our Christmas picture. And I got looking at all my family members. And I got thinking, you know, because most people say, well, I'm glad my child didn't do this and my child didn't do that. And I'm looking at the picture and I'm thinking, I can't believe I never went to jail. Like, I'm glad my kids are great, but I'm more shocked in me that I don't have an ankle bracelet on while I'm preaching today. I'm just telling you, there's nobody, whether they never come to church or they're on this platform, nobody's good enough to get entrance into heaven or have access to God. But is anybody here unashamed about the fact that it wasn't your good works that got you in good standing with God, but one day you bent your knee, you humbled your heart, you said, God, I'm a sinner, but you sent your son to wash clean sinners just like me. I wonder if there's any saved people in this church today that say, if it wasn't but by the grace of God, I wouldn't be alive today. Then give him praise like he deserves. Praise God. Before the service is over today, if you haven't made that decision or you've drifted from God, you're going to have an opportunity to pray the same prayer that hundreds here and untold thousands across the world have prayed. Watch this. He says to Mary, you're highly favored. When favor comes, I love how Mary reacted, because Mary said, what you talking about, Willis? I love Mary. I got nothing against Mary. If you're here on First Wednesday, you won't believe that, but I appreciate Jesus' mother. Okay? I don't mean to be... I'm thankful for her. I'm really thankful for her because she's human. And when an angel came to Mary and said, you're going to give birth to the Son of God, immediately when favor was spoken, her mind argued. Number one, I want you to see this. What do you need? Because I believe Mary said, I'm not ready for this. Like I told you last week. There are people here today, God has given you a great opportunity, and you're like, God, I'm not ready for this. There's some of you, God's asking you to obey him, to forgive, repent, make things right. And you're like, I'm not ready to do this. Some of you are facing a difficulty, and God didn't send it, but honestly, you have said in your heart, because I know as I've prayed the past few weeks, God just keeps putting that in my mind, in my heart, and somebody needs to hear it. You've just said, I'm not ready for this. And I need you to hear this. God's not going to check your calendar to set his calendar. All right? He's not sending you an email saying, are you open on this time to do the right thing? So what is it that we need? I talked about some. Let me just talk about it a little bit more. The first thing you need to be ready when you don't feel like you're ready is, number one, you need God's favor. You need God's favor. And when Mary was introduced to God's favor, her mind became the first battlefield. She began to question him. She began to say, I don't get this. It's the same reaction that many people get when the gospel is preached. It's the same message. It's the same response that people get. People don't argue against the favor of God because they have any theology. I almost never hear anybody contrast the favor of God with anything doctrinal. When you get down to it, it really is not a doctrinal issue. It's a mind thing. They begin to say, I can't comprehend that God would be that good to me. People say, if they'd be honest, they immediately resist the goodness of God, whether coming to Christ or serving Christ. The battle is not really theological with most. The battle really is mental. My mind can't conceive it. I can't understand this. You see, you need to understand that God spoke to men like Gideon. And Gideon said, I'm hiding and I'm a part of the most insignificant family. And God said, but you're a mighty man of valor. And Gideon's like, I can't comprehend that. God spoke to Jeremiah. I want you to preach to the nation. If you'll fulfill my call on your life, the nation will change. And Jeremiah's like, I can't comprehend it. I'm too young for this. The people, it's too political. It is too politically volatile in my generation for me to be able to minister. But I need somebody to hear this. God is always going to call you out of your comprehension. You may not have heard this lately, but your intellect can rob you. I'm going to say that one more time. Your intellect may rob you. You say, well, I'm not that smart. You don't have to be. Well, that sounded bad. But there are so many things that God wants to do in our lives. And the argument is not really whether God can. The argument really is, can I? I'm just battling because Mary... It feels good when I do that. I've known people that are very close to God, and I need you to hear this, and some of you already know this. But I've noticed some of the people that are the closest to God, and don't take this as like it's supposed to be this way. But I was praying the other day, and God just helped me see things that I've never known. And it seems like the people that I know that are godliest are often people who think so little of themselves. And it's not that God likes that. But there are some people so stuck up that if they took a shower, they'd drown. You'll get that tomorrow because you're so intellectual. But I don't know, maybe you can identify with this, but I know people that just, they're anointed, they're godly, they're victorious. But if you got down to it, they really struggle with their own worth. And I'm not just preaching that because it's Mary's situation. I'm preaching that because I think that's Central Maine's situation. I think that every seat, blue and gold, in this place would be full if people would get over their feeling like they're not worthy. But I'm not preaching them. I'm preaching you. And I'm telling you that you're here today and you make attempts and then you find out you're human and you're just like Mary. You're locked in your comprehension. You're locked. She has an immediate fear. But this is what the beautiful thing about the angel Gabriel. Angel Gabriel understands it. And if you read it right, he doesn't just say it once and then say, well, if you don't get it, I'm gone. If you don't answer my text right now, I'm out of here. The angel comes back a second time. Somebody shout a second time. The second thing about God's favor is you got to clear your mind and you got to know that God is willing to give you a second chance. Some of you this year, you did great, you started great, but as the year went on, you began to degrade, you began to sink, you began to falter, you began to weaken, and here you are at the end of the year saying, I'm not nearly where I wanted to be at this time that I thought I would be at the beginning of the year, but I've got good news. God is merciful. And somebody needs to know that God is coming back again to tell you because the angel knew that the message landed on Mary's head. But it needed to land in Mary's heart. You can tell somebody until the cows have come home. Until the cows come home. That God makes you worthy. But until you're open to the Holy Spirit and He puts it in here, your head will never get it. But the Holy Ghost has a way of getting inside of your heart and say, He whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are now new. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 30. It says this, and having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. Having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. Please hear this. The moment you're called, you're qualified. Don't shout me down. I said, the moment you're called, you're qualified. You're never going to handle what God has given you to handle if you're continually saying, I'm no good, I'm not worthy, I don't level up. Now, if you're living in sin and you don't repent, this message isn't for you. This message is for people who are continually plagued by the thoughts the enemy plants, the thoughts that people plant. But do you realize that God loves to take people who nobody thinks he can use and showcase them? How about Esther, a sex trafficking victim? God said, I'm going to use her and put her on a royal platform and make her the queen of an enemy nation. How about Noah? God knew he drank a little too much whiskey every now and then. But God took the sober side of him and used him to build an ark that saved his family and saved a lineage and gave us an example why you shouldn't drink whiskey. You'll have to read the rest of the story at home. How about Moses? He had an anger problem. But God took the leadership part of him and rescued an entire nation. Sex trafficked girl, a man who had an addiction problem, a man with an anger problem. I'm going to tell you, there was a guy in the Bible, I can't believe God used him. He was religious. I mean, sometimes it's easier to get a drunk to do something for God than a member. But God even took the Apostle Paul, the man who wrote this scripture, and said the fact that God before time began chose you to use you will use the foolishness of people to bring the glory of God. Some of you are positioned exactly where you need to be for God to pick you up, show you off, clean you up, and make you a testimony of the grace of God, not that you get the credit, but that God gets the credit for it. Is there anybody a candidate for that here today? You need God's favor to do God's will. Secondly, you need a holy how. Not a holy cow. A holy how. Mary said, how is this going to happen? Have you ever heard anybody say you shouldn't question God? If we're not supposed to question God, then why did Jesus call himself the answer? I'm going to tell you, we're supposed to ask God questions. I'm not called to question God's ability. I'm here to question, God, how is it going to get done? If you don't have a how, you're no longer walking by faith. You need a holy how. You need to have something in your life that you believe God for, but in the natural, you have no reason to think that it could happen. Let me ask you a little poll. How many of you have got a holy how in your life? You've got something you need God to do, but you just don't know how you can do it in the natural. If you don't have a holy how, then you've lost your vision. If you don't have a holy how, you're singing about a God that's invisible, but you stop believing a God that does the impossible. You need to have some things in your life that if God doesn't do it, you know you can't do it. It won't get done. And the first holy how that Mary asked, God gives an answer. Number one, you need to look for Elizabeth. I find it very interesting that Mary went to her relative, family member, Elizabeth, who's old. She knocks on the door, and here comes Elizabeth, like Sanford, opens the door. And Elizabeth looks at Mary and says, Mary, you have the Son of God in you. And what Elizabeth had in her began to do a Pentecostal jig. And the first Pentecostal church was a womb. And John the Baptist is dancing in there. And the babies begin to leap in the wombs. Why? Because if you're going to have a holy house, God's not just going to tell you. He's going to connect you with other people who have some holy house. I don't want to walk on this earth all by myself. I want to get, that's why I go to church. I need to get around some people who are believing God for miracles. I need to get around some people who are believing God for household salvation. I need to get around people that believe Maine can be saved. Come on, somebody. I want to get around some people that believe God can do in Maine what no other state has ever seen take place. I got to get around some people that believe in the power of God. I got to get around some people who believe there's nobody so deep that grace cannot reach and pull them out. I want to believe with some people there's nobody so successful that God can't humble them and show them their need for a Savior. You got to look for Elizabeth. I wrote it down this way. This is the best way I know to say it. Affirmation is a weapon against hell. Affirmation is a weapon against hell. How are you going to do this thing? You can't get around a bunch of Debbie Downers. Sorry, Debbie. Hello? You can't get around Realist Ralph. That was pretty good right there. Hello? You got to get around some people. Sherry, you got to keep yourself. Sherry's got a boy that's fighting cancer. I believe he's winning. But she don't need to be around a bunch of people telling a bunch of sad stories. Come on, somebody. If you got sad stories, eat them. Swallow them. Eat a donut. I give you permission. If somebody gives you a sad story, run. I'll buy it. Take the donut and shove it down their mouth. Until you feel the bottom of their stomach, and then pull your grimy hand out of there and say, get out of here. Till next week. I remember my dad was selling a Harley Davidson. I was 12 years old, and these two dudes come over, and this guy wanted to buy it, and his buddy came in and told him every motorcycle accident story that existed. As soon as my wife got pregnant, she had more sad stories about pregnancies. And there are some. But there's a time. There's a time. And what we need to do is get this in our hearts. You don't even have any idea. Parking lot attendants, door ushers, greeters, ushers in here, people that work in hospitality, people that have walked through this week, been beat up by their boss, been beat up by their spouse, been beat up by their ex, been beat up by the news, been beat up, really beat up by Wall Street. Hello? How many have thrown away your Johnson & Johnson baby powder? Bad news, bad news, bad news. But when we come to the house of God, we need some Elizabeths that can step into our lives and say, I don't care what the devil's trying to do. God is bigger. We're for you. And if you hang in there, you will win. Come on. Let there be a church that's that way. Let it be the whole church. Well, that's just not my gift. So look for Elizabeth. Hallelujah. See the wisdom that I demonstrated right there? Incredible self-restraint. I have to humble myself after. I'm so proud of myself. If God puts an Elizabeth in your life, keep them close. Lastly, you got to stay under the shadow. He said to Mary, you will be overshadowed by the Most High. You will be overshadowed by the Most High. It's all on CChurch11A.info. All the notes are there. You've got to stay under the shadow. When you're overshadowed, then what's wrong doesn't matter because you're focused on the greater one. Hey, Joel, you want to come help me? Stand over there. Oh, stop it. Let's back up a point. Go back on the screens.
That's what I'm looking for right there. Do it. Come here. Thank you, Elizabeth. No pun. Stand in my shadow. Look, you got a long way to go, don't you? You can keep going. Look over there. See my shadow? Oh, I'm much bigger in my shadow. And darker. Look, look, look. He's got a lot of place to move when he stays under my shadow. Look at that. Look at that. Some of you, get out of the shadow. Get out of my shadow. And no wonder you're worried. You're nervous. You don't pray anymore. You don't read anymore. You hardly go to church anymore. You don't love anymore. You don't fellowship anymore. You don't give anymore. You don't serve anymore. And you don't know why you're out of strength. And you don't know why you see more problems than solutions. I'll tell you why. Because when you get out of the shadow, all you can see is what you can do. And all you can see is what you can't do. But when you get back in the shadow, all you can see is a big God that stands over you. His arms are outstretched. And there's nothing too hard for God. I love God's shadow. Come on, somebody. I love God's presence is what I'm trying to say. Get me to God's house. Get me into the altar. Get me into prayer. Get me into the Word. And I can overcome anything that comes my way. Walk back. Thank you. Psalm 91. Come on, musicians. Barbara's going to make me sign a little liability insurance form before I preach anymore. Psalm 91. This is beautiful. Watch this. Take this for yourself right now. Make it personal. You can do anything that God calls you to do if you realize you've got God's favor. And don't let your mind fight God. Be in God's righteousness. Let God clean you up, but your cleaning doesn't make you qualified. Please, oh, I feel like I should preach that all over again. I think we get saved so long and we begin to think that we're qualified because we're good. I believe you ought to get cleaner all the time, but never forget, your works never got you in this game. It was always God that got you in this game. The reason, now thank you, Holy Spirit, the reason I'm preaching that is that there are some of you that God takes you to a level and you say, I'm not qualified. I've been through a divorce. I failed. I messed up. I didn't stay consistent. I had a setback. And so you're not questioning whether you're saved, but now you don't think that you're worthy to do what God wants you to do. But understand, the moment you repent, you've positioned yourself in alignment with God. I'm learning. Can I just talk to you for a minute? I'm learning the more that God calls people to do, the more those people need to study God's word and remember it is Christ that qualifies us. I believe in holiness. We don't have enough holiness. We need more holiness. But your holiness will never get you qualified. Your holiness makes you usable. You could do better than that. I said, your holiness doesn't qualify you. Your holiness makes you useful. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that makes you qualified. You need God's favor, and you got to realize that comes on those whom He qualifies. You need a holy how. You need to get some godly people in your life, but you need to get under His shadow, get under His presence. I tell you, the people that come into church that really know that they can't make it without His presence worship different. They're shadow people. Somebody needs to hear this today. Some of you have been struggling and falling. You need to run back to the shadow. Psalm 91. He who dwells, not visits, who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say. Somebody say that. I will say. I will say, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Hello? When you're under the shadow of the Almighty, it will be proven by what comes out of your mouth. Come on, somebody. I'm almost done. I'm almost done preaching, and it's early. The evidence that you've been dwelling in God's presence will be heard when it comes out of your mouth. If what comes out of your mouth is worry and unbelief and uncleanness, then it proves that you were in the shadow, but you veered off. But when you get back in the shadow, something inside of you will, and it won't be plastic, dead religious practicing. Something will come out of your heart and say, I don't know why, but I got a feeling everything is going to be all right. I don't have a reason to look at the natural and feel good about it, but I believe the report of the Lord. When I get into His presence and I begin to pray and commune and talk and get to know Him and spend extended seasons of prayer and fasting with Him, I'm telling you, you begin to build a different world by what comes out of your mouth. The Bible says power of life and death is in your tongue. And if God will put victory in your heart, victory will come out of your mouth. And when victory comes out of your mouth, your life is going to respond to that. Not some dead religious weird thing. I'm telling you, that's the power of God flowing through His people. The shadow of the Almighty. Every area that you come up short, He comes in strong. Every area that you come up with lack, He comes in with provision. Every area you come in with weakness to sin, He comes in with righteousness and victory over it. Is there anybody in this place that says, I want to get into the shadow of the Almighty then? If everything that I'm not, He is, how many say, I want to get into that shadow of His presence today? With everybody standing, nobody leaving. If you would, as you rise to your feet, nobody making their way to the door yet. Just begin with your voice, believers. I'm going to give you that altar call in a minute, but I want every believer right now in God's presence to begin to praise Him with your own words right now. I like raising hands, I like clapping, but there's power in your voice. Just begin to thank God that He's bigger than you. Thank God for every promise that He's made. Thank God for every miracle He's ever performed. Right now, begin to magnify Him. Come on, there's hundreds of people here today. It ought to be boisterous. It ought to shake the rafters. I serve a big God. I serve a risen Savior. Go ahead. There's power when you praise. There's might when you praise. The God that we serve inhabits the presence of people who will praise Him. I get in His shadow with my worship. I get in His presence with my praise. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, old-fashioned saints. Come on, young, fervent believers. Come on, mom and dad. Come on, young people. Begin to praise Him. You don't know what God has in store, but it's good, it's mighty, and it's glorifying to His name. Hallelujah. Magnify the Lord with me and praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him, church. Praise Him. He's worthy of all the glory and all the honor. Come on, do it.
I'll fight my battles.
Let's magnify Him. Somebody's miracle happens
today.
Somebody's breakthrough happens today. Somebody's salvation happens today. How? The Holy Ghost is going to do it today. There's nothing too hard for your God. There's nothing too difficult for Him to figure out.
This is how I fight my battles.
You're not too far. He can't reach you. You're not too high, you don't need Him. Come on, begin to praise Him.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You.
It may look like I'm
surrounded, but I'm surrounded.
Come on, let Him mend your marriage. Let Him heal your mind.
It may look like I'm surrounded,
let Him get you free from sin. Today, in the name of Jesus.
It may look like I'm surrounded.
Come on, get it out, get it out. You don't need it anymore. Sing it.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
If you're ready for victory today, I dare you to praise Him.
This is how I fight my battles.
If you're ready for a breakthrough, I dare you to magnify Him. Come on, Holy Ghost, do something today.
This is how I fight my battles.
Yeah, 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 hallelujah.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Today.
It may look like
You're not helpless. There's a big God today. Get in His presence. Get in His presence today. Let Him do a miracle.
This is how I fight my battles. 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 Oh, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Go and tell me when it's over.
Come on, one more time. Let God help you right now. Let God help you. Sing it.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You.
Surround
the Lord. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You.
You serve a mighty God.
Oh, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You.
This
is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Every person in this place that says, I'm facing something I can't change myself, raise your hand. Just raise your hand. I'm facing something I can't change myself. With every hand. Every hand that was raised, I want to believe God together with you today. And I'm not saying hope so or maybe someday. I'm telling you, standing on the Word of God today, He is your fortress. He is your strong tower. And mighty things happen in His presence. Do you believe that today? I said, do you believe that miracles happen in His presence? Do you believe people can get saved in His presence? Do you believe backsliders can come home in His presence? This ain't just some other Sunday. This is God's day right here. Amen. Amen. With God's people. I'm going to ask every person that's like Mary. I have something natural that I can't do in my strength. But I want to agree that God's going to answer my how to come stand across this altar. Quick, quick, quick. Move into the nearest aisle and stand across this altar. Don't delay. Time is precious. Stand shoulder to shoulder. Help me, Joel, get people to stand shoulder to shoulder. Ladies and gentlemen, you have no idea what's represented by the lives that are coming, the people that are hurting, the homes that are being attacked, the lives that are, the pressure people are carrying. That's it. Beautiful. Good. Good. I'm telling you, this is what church is right here. When God's people gather and pray. Board members, come help me quick. Board members, help me quick. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Grab that oil, if you would, Eric, and just give it to the guys. Folks, you're going to have to be patient. You're just going to have to be patient. I believe God's going to do... How many of you back there believe God's going to do something for these men and women of God here today? Come on. Build a little faith. Build a little expectation. That's good. All right, church family, come. Would you please? Thank you, Joel. The lines are being made. Church family, this is it. This is our moment. Come. And then when you get here, I'll tell you what I want to do next. I need the church family to come. We're going to pray. The Bible says if any man needs prayer, let him come and ask for it. Everybody that can, all the prayer warriors, all the brothers and sisters, members of the church, family. And while they're coming, while they're coming, if you look this direction, look my direction if you would, please. The greatest miracle in your life is the miracle of salvation. The Bible says that we're all born sinners, separated from God, and our sin is our barrier. But God loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for our sin. And that gives every one of you a right for an answer to prayer today. An answer to prayer, you have the right to get it. But there are people here, you haven't prayed that prayer. You don't have a date and time that you can say, that's when I gave my life to Christ. And the Bible says that God requires it. But if you accept Him publicly, He says, I'll approve you publicly. Who's here today without anybody else leaving? We're going to just do an altar call a little bit different today. And you say, you know what? I'm not right with God. If I were to die today, I don't know where I'd go. I'm telling you, you can leave today knowing for sure where you're headed. If you're here today and you're not saved or you've wandered from God, and I believe you can, and you say, today's the day I want to go into Christmas right with God, the greatest gift you could get, just raise your hand right now and say, that's me. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. You say, that's me. That's me. That's the person that God has targeted today. I just want to make sure. I can't see everybody. I think I know everybody. All right. All right, church, I want you to begin to pray. If you're back there, go ahead and stretch a hand this way. This is how we can pray together. I see Lloyd hauling up there. Lord, I pray that you'll touch Lloyd in that balcony right now. A precious man of God, touch his body in the name of Jesus. You worship. Come on, church, help me pray. Let's believe that God will begin to do hundreds of Christmas miracles here today in the name of Jesus. Go ahead.